Visitors here with us this morning, we trust and pray you'll be edified and uplifted in the things of the Lord. It's good to see some people that have been away for a while back, some from vacation and just away. I thank you for coming again today and being a part of our fellowship. We surely miss seeing you. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the New Testament book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We'll look at just one verse for our text verse this morning. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at this idea of can God. Last week, we asked this question, can God really save my soul? And to that, we have to say, yes, he can. He surely can. God not only has the ability to save, but he has the desire to save. If you're here this morning and don't know Christ as your own personal Savior, guess what? God desires for you to enter into a personal relationship with him this morning. So this morning, we're going to ask another question in our Can God series. We're going to piggyback on what we saw last week, and I'm going to ask this question to you today. Can God really keep me saved? So in other words, once we trusted in Christ as my personal Savior, can God keep me saved throughout all eternity? So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll read just one verse and verse number 12 this morning. The Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Let's read that verse one more time. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Let's pray. Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning, Father, I do understand, Father, and acknowledge, Father, that I can't do this on my own, Father. As I stand before your people, Father, gathered here this morning to hear the preaching and teaching of your word, Father, I need the empowerment from on high to preach your word this morning. And Father, without that, I'll just speak mere words. But Father, I want you to take your scripture, lay it upon the heart of your people that are gathered here to help them to answer this question deep inside their heart. Can God really keep me saved? And Father, for those that are here do not know Christ as their Savior, I pray, Father, that they'll think on this question. Can God really save my soul? And to that, we'd have to say a resounding yes, that he can. Father, you have the desire to save. You have the ability to save. So, Father, I pray you'll save that one that's closest to hell this morning. Father, we pray for the other ministries going on at this time. Lord, I pray you bless them, their workers, and those students that are there. Father, as the word of God is taught to them, Father, may they see fruit for their labors as well this very morning. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, here in our text verse, we find the Apostle Paul makes a pretty bold statement concerning his salvation. And he tells us simply this, that he's confident that his salvation is eternal in its nature. Then a question I pose to you this morning as an antagonist simply is this, but is it really? Is Paul just saying that he has eternal life, but really is that? Something else to think about this morning. Is salvation something that you and I can be sure of, or is it something we hope is going to work out in the end? Kind of like when I go to build something, amen? I just kind of hope it's going to work out the way I want it to. When I change the oil in my car, do some work on my car, I just hope that's going to work out the way that I plan to. Can a Christian really have absolute assurance that they are saved this morning? Can a Christian be sure that they'll never, ever be lost again? How about this question? Is there anything that you and I could do that would cause Jesus to take back that salvation that he gives us? Or maybe this, is it possible for us to decide that we no longer desire to be a Christian and we'll lose it by giving it back to God ourselves? What I'm asking this morning is simply this. Can God really keep me saved? Most of the people in the world today would say this. They'd say a resounding no, that God cannot keep me saved. A lot of churches today, a lot of denominations in this world today believe that and teach that. And they believe it is possible for a person to lose their salvation after coming to know Jesus Christ in a real and personal way. And they teach that man's free will allow him to choose between salvation and sin, and it's their own personal choice. But let me tell you this morning, that's not what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, we believe, according to the Bible, that once God has granted us eternal life or our salvation by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that it can never, ever be taken away. We believe that once a person is saved by grace, they are forever saved, and nothing will ever be able to change that fact. We believe that man is saved by the exercise of his free will. Simply means this, that we choose to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And that the moment of our salvation, the believer is instantly and eternally changed. And is added to that, the Bible said, we're adopted into God's family. We believe that the believer is declared righteous through this act of justification, and that eternal life is a present possession. Eternal life is not something that we obtain after we die and go to heaven. We have eternal life right now. It's a present possession. We believe that it's impossible for someone who has been born again to ever be lost or ever die and go to that place called hell. So now then, this leaves us in a little bit of a dilemma this morning. Are we correct? Which I know that we are, but are they correct? And so the question is, who is right? Are we right or are they right? And I really believe this, that the Apostle Paul really clears up this issue here in this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. And if we'll be honest with the word, and we'll be honest with ourselves, we'll discover this morning that Paul can answer this question for you and I. Can God really keep me saved? With a resounding yes, God can. As we begin this morning, let me just say this, that if you're looking for something a little bit deeper than the message this morning, I refer you back to our website where I preached a message 2 years ago entitled Save, Secure, and Sure. It's about 8 or 9 messages that deal with this matter of eternal security. And if you're sitting here in the pew this morning or listening by the way of live stream and you're struggling with this matter of eternal security, I urge you to come and speak to us. We'd be more than glad to help you with this matter of our eternal security, or go to our website and listen to those messages. I believe they'll be a great blessing to you. So as we answer and ask this question, can God really keep me saved? Notice, first of all, Paul's conversion. Notice it involved a person. Notice what it says. Paul says he knows in whom he had believed. It's a person who Paul believed in. Now, when you think about Paul's conversion, immediately our mind goes back to Acts chapter number 9, verses 4 and 6, where the Bible says this, speaking about Saul before God changed his name to Paul. The Bible says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Listen, there's no misunderstanding there. This Paul's conversion involved a purpose, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So we see, first of all, it involved a person. Think about the Apostle Paul. He was a very highly educated man. He lived a life as a separated Jew. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But his salvation could never be earned by his good living. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said this, that all the works that he has done was all but dung, except for his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His salvation could never be earned by his good living. Listen, the Apostle Paul, as he went out to capture Christians, torture them and kill them, thought that he was doing the business of God. I mean, think about it now. His mindset was that God has directed him to do that. And in doing so, he thought he was doing the bidding of God by killing Christians and getting rid of this idea of Christianity. But listen, he understood that he could never earn his salvation by his good living. It took a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to bring about Paul's salvation. That's the way salvation happens to everyone. That's the way salvation happened to me, by having a personal relationship, a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. No one earns their way to heaven by their good works. Ephesians 2. Verses 8 to 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And notice the next words, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm thankful this morning that we're not saved by our works. Because if we were saved by our works, a whole bunch of us wouldn't be saved or stay saved, amen. It's by the grace of God. Then I think about people that perhaps have disabilities and people who can't go and people can't do. What kind of works would they have? I guess they would just be left out of heaven. Thank God that is not how we get saved. We get saved through a personal relationship and a person by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is a result of that personal relationship with the Lord. I'm thankful of 1 John 5 and verse 12, where the Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. So if you have Jesus, you have life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So the question for me, from me to you today, is simply this. Do you have life? Do you have eternal life abiding in you right now? If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then you have to say, yes, I have life. Yes, I have eternal life. But if you were to say, no, I've never trusted in Christ, then guess what? According to God's own word, you hath not, the Son of God hath not eternal life. And there's no amount of goodness, there's no amount of your education, there's no amount of keeping the law that's ever going to produce salvation in your life. It's always and only the result of needing Christ in a personal way. Now, you might have not been knocked down traveling to Damascus where a bright light shone around and God himself spoke to you. But I can promise you this, there had to be a time in your life when the Holy Spirit of God convicted your heart of your sinfulness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you reached out by faith and put your trust in him. Well, we see, number one, in Paul's conversion, it involved a person. But then notice something else. We find it involved a plan. Notice Paul says that his conversion was the result of belief. Notice the Bible said, whom I have believed. So we see that Paul's salvation was a result of a person, but it's also a result of a plan and whom he believed in. You see, salvation can't be worked up, nor can it be prayed down. It can't be accomplished only through simple faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible says about the means and the manner of our salvation. In John 3 and verse 36, the Lord said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Salvation can only be yours through faith in Jesus Christ. You may be asking, well, what is faith? Well, one way that we could define faith is simply as complete confidence or trust or reliance upon. Faith means having total trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. It means trusting Jesus and him alone completely. Not works, not deeds, not doing, not thinking. It means faith only trusting in him. You see, faith is absolutely necessary for our salvation. And faith really implies letting go of our own efforts to be saved. You see, the problem is in our life that we have this idea that that we're going to get all we can all we get, and sit on the can. And sometimes we try to do that in the spiritual aspect of our life, that, listen, we feel we have to earn salvation, so we're going to get all we can and can all we get and sit on the can. But listen, it's not about you and I. It's about what we believe, what Jesus Christ has done for us. Being saved means we have to trust Christ and Him alone for the salvation of our souls. Well, we see in Paul's conversion, we see that it involved a person. We see that it involved a plan. He said, whom I have believed it. But then notice it involved a permanence. Notice those words once again, I have believed it. In the original language, this verb is in the perfect tense and literally means this. It's an action that has been completed in the past once and for all, never needed to be repeated ever again. So Paul said, I believe it. He said, I trusted by faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. That action is done. It's in the past. It's once and for all. I never need to repeat that action ever again. And Paul was saying that he placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It was done one time, one single action. And he says what was accomplished then will always be finished according to the text, the tenses of the Greek word. Paul knows that this salvation is a permanent thing. Understand this morning, if the Apostle Paul knows and understands that his salvation is permanent, guess what? It's permanent for you and I. God is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. He'll always be the same. He's immutable. He's unchanging. So understand this, that if Paul knows that, you and I can know that as well. It never has to be redone and will last forever. And once you and I are born again into God's family, we are permanent members of His family. Well, we ask ourselves this question, can God really keep me saved? We say, as we looked at Paul's conversion, but then notice something else. Notice Paul's confidence. It's based upon the person of God. Notice in our text, Paul says this, I know in whom I have believed. That word know means to know by personal experience. It doesn't mean I know because someone told me about it. Paul says, I know by my own personal experience in whom I have believed in. And Paul was telling us that he has the confidence in the Lord because guess what? He knows the Lord based upon his experience with the Lord. And he experienced God's power firsthand. And he knows what God can do there in Acts chapter number 9. People who have the assurance of their salvation really have a strong personal faith in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. They believe in a God who is all-powerful. They believe He's the one who has promised and the one who can bring about their salvation. So let me ask you this question this morning. Who is God to you? Is He an all-powerful God who does what He says He will do? Or is He a weak God, is imperfect and unable to keep His promises? But the Bible gives us a clear answer in Titus 1 and verse 2. He says, in hope of eternal life. Again, that's a no-so hope based upon experience. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So we find Paul's confidence was based upon the person of God. But then notice something else. It was based upon the power of God. Notice in our text that Paul reminds us that God is, notice the word, able. And that word simply means that God has the power to do a thing. So Paul says that God is able. He has the power to do this thing. And Paul tells us that his salvation as well as ours is based upon the power of God. It's not based upon our power. It's not based upon the power of grandma to pray for your soul to be saved. It's based upon the power of God to save your soul. Peter tells us that we're kept by the power of God in 1 Peter 5. The Bible says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. So Peter is writing about this idea of eternal security. He said, it's not up to me. He said, it's up to God who keeps me saved. We are kept by the power of God. So in very, very simple terms, our salvation is as strong as God's power or God's ability to keep us saved. So think about that for just a moment or two. Dwell on that. Let your mind meditate upon that. How powerful is God? He's all powerful. How knowing is God? He's all knowing. Understanding this, that our salvation is as strong as God's power to keep us saved. Let me remind you that we serve a God who is infinitely powerful. Isaiah the prophet says this in the 26th chapter in the 4th verse. He says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Everlasting strength. Luke 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." I don't know about you, but when I understand this fact, I know that there is the power of God that keeps me saved. Well, Paul's confidence was based upon a person, was based upon power, but then there's something else. It's based in the promises of God. Notice what Paul tells us. He tells us that he is persuaded. You say, persuaded about what, Pastor Carroll? He's persuaded about the ability for God to preserve or to keep our soul. Paul's confidence was based upon precious promises or truths found in God's word. We already quoted Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, that our salvation is by grace through faith and not of works. We think about that word everlasting in John chapter 3 and verse 16. That word everlasting means what it means. It's not too hard to figure out. It means forever and ever and ever and ever. I think about John 3 and verse number 36. We find that our everlasting life is a present possession. Notice what the Lord said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So we find that our eternal life is a present possession if you trusted in Christ that you have right now. But then notice something else in the last part of that verse, and in verse number 29 of John chapter 10, nothing can remove you from God's hand. God can't, you can't, Satan can't. So understand this, that we have a present, eternal possession of this salvation. And then I like in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, the first part of that verse, we find that the believer is no longer condemned once they receive Christ as their Savior. The Bible says, "This is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." So we find that Paul's confidence was based upon the person of Christ, was based upon God's power to keep him saved, and was based upon the promises in God's word. And Paul is telling us that he knows without a shadow of a doubt that God can save his soul, but it goes beyond that, that God can keep his soul. And I wonder this morning, do you have that same kind of confidence as the apostle Paul has? Do you understand this morning that God can not only save you, but he can keep you saved? And let me ask you this question. Are you settled in the knowledge that Jesus Christ not only saves us, but he keeps us as well? Well, we see as we answer this question, can God really keep me saved? We see Paul's conversion as he answers that question. We see Paul's confidence. But then notice, thirdly, quickly, notice Paul's commitment. Paul's commitment. First of all, we find that Paul was committed to the past. Notice that he trusted in Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter number 9. And he trusted in Jesus to forgive him and to cleanse him and to save his soul. And so oftentimes we look back in our Christian walk and we want to do away with the past. And there's a lot of things in the past that we do want to do away with. But understand this morning, we ought to be committed to our past. Understanding if you're saved and born again, there was a time and there was a place and there was a moment in time that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I believe that's what Paul is really teaching us. He said, "I'm committed to the past. It's going to propel me forward in my belief in Jesus Christ." He was committed to the past, but then notice something else. We find that he was committed to his present. See, Paul gave his life after he was saved to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he really just basically said this. He said, Lord, I'm going to give my life over to you. Use me as you want me to do. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? You see, when we think about Paul's total surrender, it was based upon the knowledge from the past that God had saved him for all eternity. But that past motivated him to live in the present. And we think about the gift of eternal life demands that you and I totally surrender to him. And we should serve him. We should love him because of all that he has done for us in forgiving our sin in our past. So Paul was committed to the past, but yet he was excited about the present, but then notice something else. He was committed to the future as well. As this verse closes, Paul speaks, notice what the verse says, of that day. He was writing about the day when we must leave this world and face the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that when that day came, he would be found in Jesus Christ regardless of what happened down here in this life. Our salvation is not dependent upon what we can do, but what Jesus Christ has already done for us on the cross of Calvary. So we think along this line, can God really keep me saved? We have to answer, yes, God can keep me saved. God does keep me saved. But I think the more important question this morning is, have you trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ as your only means of salvation? Has there been a specific time in your life when you understood that, yes, you have sinned? That's not too hard to figure out. All of us, perhaps even today, maybe after you woke up on the way coming to church, that you have committed something that has been displeasing to God himself. And because of that sin and our sin nature, that you and I are separated from God. But that God the Father sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary in order that we could be justified, that we might put our faith and trust in what he was doing as the God-man. And by doing that, we would become a born-again child of God. But then think on this thought. If you are saved and you are born again, have you committed your past to him? Are you committed your present to him? Have you committed your future to him, understanding that one day that we as God's children are going to be judged for the things, that the works that we do here on this life? Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 in verse number 12, our text verse, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, he said, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So as we close the message this morning, I want to ask you a very simple question. Have you ever been saved? Has there been a time in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior? If the answer is no, then it reminds you that God loves you very much. And he's brought you to this building today to hear this message of God's salvation for you. If you'd like to get this matter of salvation settled, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. We invite you to come. Tell us of your need to be saved. Let someone take the Bible and show you how that you might be saved. But then if you are saved, I want you to know that God will take you safely home to heaven when you leave this world, irregardless of what the devil, the world, and the flesh does. We can rest assured that God can keep us saved. Let's pray. Father,